This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Everyone ready for the main feed?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, wake up.
Can't stress this to you enough. I am awake. That's just my face.
No shit, all Sherlock. It's Hey Riddle Riddle. And hey, the three of us fell in a deep fryer, and now we're all Southern. I'm a little Southern boy, and I sound like this. I got a horse, got my dog, I love my truck, and a saddle ride. Yeehaw, sunset.
I fell in an air fryer, now I smell like butter. I fell in an air fryer, now I taste like butter. I fell in an air fryer, now I'm delicious. I'm a Southern gal.
Yeah.
And they're like jackhammering outside of my window, so.
You're talking about a couple?
This audit, yeah, there is a couple fucking as hard as I've ever heard a couple
He's
fuck.
Lying. He's lying. He didn't want to do the song.
They're doing construction right outside of my window right now, so I'm assuming that all of this audio is going to be unusable. So I'm not going to waste my time doing a great fucking Southern accent bit because it's going to be stripped from the episode. So
but
what
if
do I
you
care?
Were, but if you were going to do,
but if
one
you
of those
were,
bits, what would you have added to the song?
Honestly, you guys did little jingles and Southern accents. I think I probably would have just done something simple like a yaw, hui, hua, yaw.
Yo, JGC, yo! Can you point the microphone back towards you and not the couple that's fucking outside your window? Thanks.
So I guess reverse cowgirl, how do you say ya backwards?
Yeah.
I think it's your JP Riddles throwing a flashlight sound.
That's the woods throwing the flashlight back.
I once did reverse cowgirl with a woman, and she put a cowboy hat on her vagina. She put chaps on her arms.
I feel like this is made up, but keep going.
Yeah, you
I feel like you're lying.
You lost me at you were with a woman. Boom! Well, no, you have a fiancé, you're getting married, never mind.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, I'm Adel Rafi.
I'm JPC.
And I'm Aaron Keefe. And I don't think we've done that in a year, that's why it felt a little clunky.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. And we're Hey Riddle Riddle. We're a podcast where we try and solve riddles, puzzies, lateral thinking problems, and along the way we stop and dick around.
Have fun. Because if you're not having fun, then why are you here?
Then what's the point?
Well, okay, so I fucked up then because I thought that I guess I misread an email or a text. I thought we were pivoting and we are now a home renovation podcast. So
No. I said Jeremy Piven is flipping his house and we should invest.
Ugh, no, I hate so many of those words.
Oh my God. What a terrible investment. What a terrible investment to invest in the house that Jeremy Piven is flipping. People are like, Jeremy Piven lived here. And someone's like, ooh, can I have a napkin and show me the door?
Hard pass on that. I do want someone to give me sort of like a home renovation or travel show.
Mm.
Would anyone out there invest in maybe me on like the Travel Channel or HGTV, invest in a show where I go antique shopping and drink coffee and I bring different funny people along with me, or I travel the world and a TV show pays for it and everyone watches?
I would watch the absolute shit out of that. I think American Pickers is such a watchable show, even though those two guys are kind of meh, or
wait,
I don't know.
My idea already exists. What's American Pickers?
It's two guys, and they own antique stores in Central Illinois and Nashville, and they just travel the world. I guess not the world. They travel the U.S., and they go to like barns, like there'll be some 89-year-old guy who's like, take a look at my barn. And they're like, we just found an original Coke sign from 1842. And they'll be like, $10. And he's like, okay. And then they take it back to their shop and they sell it for $40,000. And it's that kind of show.
Okay. I'm sick right now. I'm actually sick and I have to call off the episode. I'm going to have my mom come pick me up. Fair enough. I'm not going to go watch that show.
But it's basically treasure hunting. It's one of the most watchable shows I've ever seen. And I know it's so watchable because I dislike the hosts and yet I still watch the shit out of it. Yeah.
Well, I want something like that. My mom turned me on to this local access TV show that I think only people in Massachusetts watch or care about. And it's this woman who goes to different Massachusetts homes in different cities and learns a little bit about the city and tours the house. And it has been cracking my shit up. I consumed so much of it so quickly because I'm like, oh, wow, this is everything I dream of. Snooping in someone's home, judging their home, and listening to people from Massachusetts talk about how proud they are to be so snobby. I love it. Check out Home Life and Style if you're from Massachusetts and you like gorgeous homes. My mother and I are obsessed with it. Adel, what show of yours do you want JPC and I to produce and fund?
I want to go, let's see. So I want to do a show where I go on haunted tours all across the U.S. and I am the guide.
You're the ghost.
I'm the ghost.
The guide.
I'm the guide. And I just make up along the way. I just make up stories where I'm like, does anybody know what happened in this alley? And then someone's like, a nurse was killed. And I'm like, that's right.
That person's weird.
Does anyone
know
her name? But it's just improvised ghost tours. Again, this is a show. I'm sure I mentioned this before, but this was a show I wanted to produce with JPC as the tour guide in Chicago. I still think this is going to happen at some point if JPC still has interest. I think it would be so fun.
Adel, I'm so sorry. You're describing American Screamers.
No.
Yeah. So it's a show that I love. The two hosts, I hate them so much. It's the Property Brothers. The Property Brothers host the show, but it's essentially that. Except they're not so much going around and doing improvised ghost tours. They're like fixing up people's houses. You know what I'm thinking of? It's the Property Brothers.
Yeah, you're thinking of Property
right.
Brothers.
That's the show, and I do not care for that show.
Well, JPC, if you want, like, Adel and I will give you all of our money for a show. What show is it?
Okay, so this show is called Secret Cousin Fantasy Kiss. And we basically just take celebrities and we reconstruct times in their lives where they had a sexual awakening about a cousin or the presence
Adel,
of a cousin.
Aren't you glad that we have combined finances now for no reason at all?
Or aren't you glad I didn't kiss my cousin?
Just kidding. All of our ideas are bad. Sorry, everybody. We'll stay in our little podcast corner. We'll never leave.
Bye,
we'll
everyone.
Stay right here.
We'll stay in our lane. We'll do our little southern voices. I'll do my little western sounds. Yow! Hee! Wow! Yow!
Cactus!
And
they're still
be
going?
Yeah, I'm sorry. They're always going in my mind, and sometimes I vocalize them. But otherwise, it's just a running current of those noises at all times. And then there's also the fast-paced clippity-clop of a horse, because it's just my brain galloping and making those noises.
I do think it would be fun, and then we'll move on. I do think it would be fun to do a culinary show on like the Food Network or something, Travel Channel, where you search out the worst dishes. Where you're like, we've narrowed down the three worst burgers in the
world. Yeah, you're right. I do like hurting people's feelings and ruining small businesses.
And they're all just like crying, fingers crossed, hoping they're not the worst burger.
Or maybe what Kitchen Nightmares is about?
That's fair.
I like that show if it's not businesses, if it's just individual people who have like really bad eating habits. We're like, we're checking in on Gregory. Gregory, this is your third bowl of peanut butter Cap'n Crunch today. You have a working stove. You have a working microwave. You have ostensibly a spatula. This is the third bowl of Cap'n
Crunch. And
yet
the roof of your mouth is ruined. Well, speaking of ruined, JPC, I believe your old man puzzles for this episode.
Why else would I be wearing this large beard and big hat, my friend? I'm covering up a surgery that I got that went horribly wrong.
What about the sequined bikini?
That is because it's the weekend, my friend.
It is a Monday.
It is canonically a Monday, released on a Wednesday. No, I do have some riddles. These are riddles, riddle submissions from people way, way, way back in the before time, September 2018.
Mm. Wow.
I have to say the last several listener-submitted riddle episodes we've done have been quite good. I don't know if it's older ones or newer ones, but I feel like people have really stepped up their game, and we're getting maybe the best riddles ever are coming from our listeners.
I agree.
Yikes. Of course, well, big pressure put on the riddles that I grabbed from here. Now, every time I do riddle submissions, I want to honor the fact that there are people that wrote us emails in 2018 with riddles in them and that have not made it to the show yet, and I want to put those on the show. But also, I have riddle books that I really want to use for riddles, and every week that I do riddle submissions, I'm like, I definitely want to just do a couple of these and then go to the books.
Sure.
Without fail, I pull like three riddles, and I'm like, these are the ones that we do, and then it takes us 45 minutes to get through them.
Want a bet? What do I get if I get through 12 riddles this episode? What do I get?
I'm going the opposite end, motherfucker. Now they're going to take 50 minutes.
I hate how
stubborn we all are.
I'm going to drag
this
my feet.
Sucks.
I'm holding my breath until the show is over. But I did grab some. What I want to say is that I did grab some riddles that are on the quicker side. So these are some shorter ones. And this first one comes from Ruth. Hello, I have a riddle for you. Okay, here it goes. Here comes the riddle. It's this. No punctuation, by the way.
Do you know the old joke about the dog, the talking dog?
No.
There's this old joke. It's very bad, but I'll tell it anyway, just to waste time, because again, I promise 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this guy who takes his dog to like I don't know, some sort of specialist, and he's like, my dog talks, and he goes, oh, show me, and he goes, okay, Oreo, who's the who's the greatest? I almost fucked it up. So he goes, what do you say about how would you describe sandpaper? And the dog goes, rough. And he goes, okay, Oreo, what's on top of a house? And he goes, roof. And he goes, okay, who's the greatest baseball player of all time? And he goes, Joe DiMaggio. I think it's pretty funny.
I like it. And I also, it's good to hear the old classic Addle's dog voice.
Which I used to do in every single World News episode.
Mm-hmm. They should put that in a museum. Can you put a voice in a museum?
I think so.
I'll look it up.
Hold on, Aaron. You're not doing riddles. I'm doing the riddles. I'm old man puzzles. I also like how that dog is like, the greatest baseball player ever is Joe DiMaggio. So it's like, all right, dog. Like, how old is this fucking dog? And also it's like, a little sus that he's picking this old dead white man to be like the best baseball player of all time. Like, what's going on with this dog's politics?
That's fair.
We don't stand the dog at the joke, folks.
Hank Aaron and then Albert Pujols. maybe we can make my dog voice. We can turn it into a non-fungible token and sell that, and we can each do some of those, some NFTs.
Dude, I'll tell you, every day growing up, there were kids that when we got to lunch that would eat fungibles, and I wanted them so bad.
Oh,
but all I had
fungibles?
I had a non-fungible token, and I had to use that to buy my lunch. Square fucking pizza, corn dog on a stick. No thanks. Give me the fungibles.
Me and my friends would make blockchains for each other and wear them around our wrists.
Blockchains? What'd you go to school in 2020? Jesus Christ. Cryptocurrency much? All right. This is from Ruth. I always have stories, but never tell tales. And my hard umber skin bests the wolf.
Oh, that didn't rhyme.
No, I was fully expecting that to rhyme.
I know it. It's a book.
Is it a book?
Aaron, what makes you think it's a book? Because it has stories, but never tales?
Oh.
Stories,
read
but never
it again, and I'll tell you why.
I always have stories but never tales, and my hard umber skin bests the wolf.
I know what this is.
Okay.
And also, before I answer, and maybe this is giving the answer, but I want to see a scene. We're going to have Aaron, you are the big bad wolf, mm-hmm. and you're trying to blow down a house. JPC, you are the last standing piggy. And you have built your house out of something that the wolf is either not able to blow down or doesn't want to.
Gotcha.
All right.
Well, look who it is. The motherfucker who ate my brothers.
Yeah, and I'm about to eat Little Red Riding Hood and her grandmother, too. So
Different
let's get
story.
This over with.
Different story.
Still a wolf. Still a fucking shitty wolf. No matter where I am, I suck.
Well, my friend, I'd love... Oh, I'm sorry. You taking a big breath?
Yeah, I'm ready.
What's your plan?
Well, I'm glad that you asked, because it's also my catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to huff, I'm going to puff, and I'm going to blow mm-hmm. your house down.
Look at that wolf huffing paint.
Now I know. That's going to destroy your lungs. Your lung capacity is going to be shot. Now I know you killed my brother. You know, but newsflash, I didn't like those, my little pig brothers. They were uppity. They were always thinking they were better than me. They were building their houses out of straw and sticks and whatever the fuck. But they
so
were
you
stupid.
Don't care that I killed them slow?
You motherfucker. Don't care? I cared that they were good, hard-working, honest pigs. They should, them being kin to mine is nothing. But you motherfucker, you killed those pigs. But I invite you, wolf, to blow your hardest because you'll never blow this house down. You see what this house is made of?
What?
Look closer. Do you see the sharp fangs? The fur? I built my house out of dead fucking wolves.
Oh my god, my brothers! My hard-working younger brothers! I didn't
even
like them!
Your uncle, your parents. I killed every wolf that I could, and I ground their bones down to make my house.
Oh god, I can see some of their faces. That's my mentor. That's my best friend. That's the love of my life, you monster!
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit. Hold. Oh, oh. This house is not strong. Oh, same, that wolf same. Breath.
A house made of wolves.
Adel, you are correct. The umber skin best the wolf. This is, of course, a brick house referring to the famous poem, The Tale of the Three Little Pigs.
The famous poem, She's a Brick House.
All right, which pig is which? I'm the pig who makes their house out of straw. Adel, okay. You're the pig who...
So you ask us a question, then you give us all the answers.
Well, no, I'm not going to give you the answers. You're going to fill in the blank.
Okay.
What is it? It's straw?
Sticks.
Straw, sticks, and bricks?
And brick.
Straw. He blows down a wood house? That's insane.
No, well, it's like sticks.
It's not like planks, it's sticks.
Okay.
It's not like an adorable, charming cottage.
What was
it's
this pig
sticks.
Trying to cut costs?
Yeah, of course.
He went to Lowe's and they were like, well, we have pine, we have white wood, and then we have some low quality. And he's like, what? I was out in the parking lot and I saw some sticks. They're like, yeah, that's like a tree in the parking lot. That's nothing. That's not for building houses. And
I got
like,
my
what
eye on a huge TV, so I'm trying to cut costs where I can.
Really, you should be using rebar. No. Sticks for me.
Sticks. Not the bark kind. Sticks from the ground that a winter's hit.
That's not a house.
That's a pile of sticks.
If you put a stick on your head, you don't go around calling yourself a homeowner.
Yeah.
I will now. That's what millennials are going to have to start doing. We're all living with our fucking parents right now. I'll never own property, and that's what's real. Oh, boy.
Your brother said he lives out in the sticks. Yeah, don't get me started on what that means to him. It's a pile of sticks. It's a nice
please,
neighborhood.
Please I'm gonna don't start, let me talk about my brother.
I'm going to start selling hats that they're just like a hat with like a wooden roof on it, so you can just walk around and say you have a roof over your head. Or
and it says,
you
call them millennial homes?
Uh-huh.
Oh my god, a millennial home. Hey, here's a millennial home for you, Starbucks. They spend all their money on coffee, and now the economy's ruined.
Yep, it was us. It was us.
Good going, millennials.
We fucked the future generations.
The Zoomers will save us with their TikTok and their porn. Okay, thank you so much, Ruth. Ruth also says, I love your podcast. Okay, thanks, bye.
Awesome.
Thanks, Ruth.
That was fun.
Yeah, we thank you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. This next one is from Ken. Ken says, hi, Adel, JPC, and Aaron. Huge fan of the podcast. First thing in so long that has made me laugh out loud in public. Now, again, this is 2018 when we could go in public. Mm. We have not been able to do that since for legal reasons for us.
I want to say hi to Ken, but also I'm sad to say that although I love your red robes, I'm more of a Ryu guy.
What is that a reference to? I don't know those words.
Okay, let's try this one. Ken, I think thank you so much for sending in this riddle. You're an absolute doll.
Now, Aaron, you do one.
Aaron always
Ken,
gets to go third.
Ken, I know this is going to be great. I know you're really smart because you won Jeopardy more times than anyone else.
Not a lot of famous Kens.
No, not really. Well, not many people go by Ken. Kendrick Lamar, is he a Ken? Is Ken short for Kendrick?
Kenneth, I think.
Kenneth.
Kenneth.
Typically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's Kenneth Griffey Jr., Kenneth Jennings, Kenneth the doll.
Kenneth Paltrow. let's see.
Kenneth Paltrow.
There's in London, there's Big Ken.
She started that company, Coop, that sells $6,000 vitamins to rich women.
To chickens, Coop.
Got a little ready. This comes from the classic video game King's Quest VI. Context being, a talking door asks you this.
Hmm.
Okay, so here you go. From King's Quest VI.
I'm so tired of talking doors asking me questions. Oh my God, give me 5 seconds, please.
What do you mean push or pull? Just fuck off.
Blah, 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 blah. That's you. Push or pull? Blah, push or pull. We're not open. No smoking. Shut the fuck up. I don't want to read today. Talking doors.
You must wear a mask inside the premises.
Shut up.
My first is foremost legally. My second circles outwardly. My third leads all in victory. My fourth twice ends a nominee. My whole is this gate's only key.
Is the door bragging about people it slept with?
Well, the door actually uses the word screwed. So I guess that means slept with, but I'm sorry, banged.
Because I would like to see a scene. Door. Okay, Adel, you're a window, JPC, your door, and you're bragging about your sexual escapades.
Whew, it's getting a little chilly. I'm going to go ahead and shut myself.
Okay. You don't have to check that there's anything in it before you shut, because there never is. Me, being a door, usually if I just want to shut myself, I got to make sure that the passageway is clear.
I get it. People go through you.
People go through me.
Must be nice.
Bow chicka wow wow. Fink 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 fink.
What was that? You play bass?
I do, yeah. I got a bass knocker. So it's it's one of those novelty things. God, looking like there's a lot of dust on the old panes there.
Yeah, I haven't been cleaned in a while, and I'm feeling a little neglected. But I have a date tonight, so any advice for a first date?
You have a date tonight?
Yeah,
you have a date tonight.
Yeah, it's with a fly that's trapped in between my pains.
Okay, I thought so. I thought so. I thought it was with a fly that's trapped in between your pains. You know what? Good luck with that. I'm sure that you'll hit a home run.
The fuck?
I'm sorry. I'm getting my knob polished weekly, my man. Weekly.
Okay.
Right,
well,
home,
that's
a. I'm gonna put a key in my door. Take it out. Dude, my key's not working. Put it in and out. God, I'm trying to get into my apartment so I can fuck my window. Can't I just get in?
Now she's grabbing your knockers. Trying to get home so I can fuck my window.
I gotta get home and fuck my window.
Try telling that to your therapist.
That stuck fly is a lucky lady.
Can you read this riddle one more
time?
Can you read the riddle one more time?
Actually, at the beginning of COVID, I was literally, you know, those wet wipes when they were like, wipe down your groceries. And like, I was polishing every knob in my house multiple times. Just always polishing those knobs.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone, you can use that sound for whatever you want. That sound bite that just happened, you can use it for whatever, wherever, whatever you need it for.
Job interviews, children's birthdays.
Blackmail.
I tend to also polish my knobs, put some sausage around it.
And I'm third again.
So, Aaron, whenever you're ready, just pay off the rule of threes.
Pay it off in a big way. It just makes sense.
She's putting the ball on the tee. It fell off the tee. Okay.
I hope
panicking.
My clothes swallow me up.
Okay. What does that have to do with polish?
Just trying to get out of here.
What to do? Okay. Reading again. My first is foremost legally.
Okay.
My
let's pause for a second.
Okay.
So, Aaron, what do you think? My first is foremost legally. So, foremost legally, you always have to swear on the Bible.
Okay, I have a question.
Miranda
how
writes?
Many are
okay.
How many are there? Is there 5?
4.
4. All right, what are there 4 of? Seasons?
Ooh, that's great. And legally
Women and Sex in the
winter.
City.
and there's an order cuz it's my first, my second, my third, my fourth, and then my whole is this gate's only key. So, whatever the whole is has to be the key to this door, to this gate.
Is it a dollar?
There's four beetles. There's four skin. There's four musketeers. If you count the other, the man in the iron mask.
I heard you say foreskin. I heard it.
Thank you.
I mean, if we're saying things that we heard earlier in the episode, Erin was talking about a show that her mom had her watch, and she said, "My mom turned me on," and I said nothing.
I know, and that's why I tried to talk fast.
I said nothing.
I said,
because I knew what would happen. I would get in trouble because Erin's mom listens, and if I went on this long rant about how Erin's mom turns me on, I would get in trouble,
okay,
and I'm trying not to get into trouble anymore.
When you're around so many funny boys like I am all the time. I'm around two funny boys all the time. You're both equally funny. You have to talk really quickly when you accidentally say something sexual. So they don't have... Things need oxygen to breathe. And so to live. So like... Their jokes can't live if I don't give them space for their jokes. You understand?
And I'd just like to say, not even a joke. There's nothing funny about it. Nothing constructed about it. Wasn't written. Wasn't what? No laugh. Just not a joke.
Just a Freudian slip.
Just a Freudian slip.
Frodo.
Oh, Mr. Freudian. Mr. Freudian.
Oh, Mr. Frodo, you're my dad.
Please.
I mean, I love you. I mean, penis, Mr. Frodo.
That's it. That's the pinnacle of the show.
Erin.
Nothing gets better than that joke.
Yes. I mean, penis, Mr. Freudo.
Oh, Mr. Frodo, I want to fuck my dad. I mean, kill the ring of Yule.
Oh, Mr. Frodo. Okay, that is a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Okay.
Outstanding.
Okay. What are there four of?
I don't know, but I'm saying right now, I'm naming this episode Freudian slip.
Froyoian. So
Froyoian slip.
Froyoian
slip.
All right. I want the strawberry. I mean, I want to fuck my family. I mean,
TCBY, my sister. I mean,
there is a hint. Ken does provide a hint. I think the hint is going to give it away, but
I'm ready.
Ken says it's a spelling riddle. So spelling is a big part of this. I'll read it one more time.
Oh, so maybe the word is door, D-O-O-R, and the keyhole is the O in the middle or something?
I'll read it one more time.
Yes.
My first is foremost legally. My second circles outwardly. My third leads all in victory. My fourth twice ends a nominee. My hole is this gate's only key.
Love.
Love.
Guys.
L is for the legally.
Keep going.
O circles outwardly. V leads all in a victory. E twice ends the word nominee. Da, da, da.
All right, everybody, go right to your computer. I'm going to need you to put that audio over the beginning of the Parent Trap instead of the regular love song. I just want to hear that watch Dennis Quaid be hot.
Here's what I want to see. I want to see a remake of the Parent Trap, but it's basically like Saw, where they chain their two parents into a room and then they have to pass a series of games.
I think that's just Property Brothers.
I want to see a scene.
Property Brothers.
I want to see a scene. Erin and JPC, you are a couple who have had kids, broke up. I have never seen Parent Trap, but I assume that's
it's amazing. You have to watch that tonight.
It's actually wildly fucked up. Parent
it's
Trap.
It's like twins trying to get their parents back together. Is that
it's
right?
It's so good. And I love Parent Trap.
One went to live with either one. Did they know about each other, or they discover each other at summer camp or something?
Uh-huh. At summer camp, yeah.
Okay. So you two are a couple who have broken up, and
but it's fucked because the parents know about them.
Uh huh.
That's fucked up.
That's messed to not tell someone you have a twin. So you two are a couple, and your children have parent trapped you, meaning they've put you in this sort of gruesome Saw-esque. What is that called? The torture porn room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have to sort of pass a series of tests.
I hear you're engaged now. I'm very happy for you.
Jesus, Marcella, can we not talk about this now?
No,
I just
I'm
saw
just
it off my own fucking
person.
Pinky. I just saw it off my own pinky.
Oh, okay. Are we bragging? I ripped out three of my teeth. I know that we're all hurting you. Pinky is nothing. You'll still be able to balance and walk and function. I'm just saying congratulations. I'm sure you'll be very happy.
Thank you. Yes, we're very happy together.
Excellent. All right, I have to. It says here, let me. Oh, sorry, I don't have my glasses. All right, let's see.
Oh,
I have to.
You're wearing glasses now.
Yeah, do you like them? I feel like I look foolish.
No, I mean, I've always said that you have a face that could frame any accessory.
You're blushing.
No, I'm just losing blood because I can't seem to staunch this pinky wound.
That's so sweet. I'm supposed to dig a key out from your stomach using only my hands. All right, let's see. How do we...
You haven't touched my body in 17 years.
My hands are cold and so is your body.
Ooh.
That feels horrible.
Yeah, you're digging your hands into my stomach. Yeah. Okay, this feels... No. I'm not. This feels bad. This feels weird.
Is that new cologne? Because you smell different than how I remember you.
I pissed myself when I was cutting the pinky off.
See, it was... We got them back together.
We're going to get back together.
What I was going to say is I would love to hear just like an absolute Vegas-style crooner singing that like, L is for the way, and just forget what word he's spelling. And just go off and just like improvise.
J is just because I don't know the words anyway. And X, xylophones are here.
Help is for, oh God, help, fuck me, oh fuck.
L is for the line I wish I knew.
Everyone, I know it's not June yet, but please go watch Leslie Uggam sing June is Busting Out All Over on YouTube, where she forgets all the words except the words June is Busting Out All Over. Maybe, I don't know, we can cut this part out, but maybe Casey can play the audio of it here because it is the funniest thing in the world.
Surely we don't have the rights.
No, I mean, it's an old YouTube video.
Yeah, and we're doing commentary, so that's with some sort of legal... Mm-hmm.
Wait, if we make fun of it, then we're protected by parody law.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, you're protected.
Thank you, parody.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, guys, parody. Sorry, did we not mention that our lawyer is a parrot? Our lawyer is a parrot that wears a little suit. He's perched right up there, and he's very, very cute. Uh-huh. That's my poem about our parrot.
That's your poem?
Please, I'm being sued. Stop just repeating what I'm asking you.
Right, you're fucked.
All right, well, you know what that means, guys. Our parrot says we're fucked, so we now have to go into a little meeting where we talk to our parrot. We explore all of our legal options. In order to fund our parrot trap, we really, really have to play some ads. These ads are going to keep us out of any sort of legal trouble. Thank you so much for listening.
A is for the ads you're about to hear.
GP Seattle, come in here quick.
Oh, Aaron, what's
going on, Aaron?
Haircut, would you, new makeup, what's going on?
No. I added new photos to my Aura frame, and there's one of us coming up that I'm dying for you guys to see.
Okay.
We just got to wait a second.
This is you taking a bath? I don't know why this one's on here.
Oh, this is awesome. I love this.
It's mostly photos of me taking a bath in a full wetsuit, pretending that I'm sort of like exploring. Doesn't matter.
Whoa.
Just wait for the photo.
And there's bags of rice that say JPC Natal on them.
Doesn't matter. Don't look too closely at those photos.
It's like Scuba Steve from... not Billy Madison.
Big Daddy.
Scuba Steve is from Big Daddy.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. And I'm not a mom, but I love an Aura frame too. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. And I'm not one of Oprah's favorite things, but I love Aura frames. And Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. My mom has one. Your mom has one. All of our moms have one. They love them.
You can use your finger to swipe across the top. Okay, so this is like a professional photo shoot. Who's taking the pictures of you in the wetsuit in the bath?
Don't ask questions.
From Aura to Oprah, everyone loves this frame. And true story, I gave my mom one last year, like you were saying, Aaron. I gave her one for her birthday. She is obsessed. And here's the fun part is Gemma and I have an app where we can add photos on our phones to my mom's frame. And she lives hours away. And that's fun and enjoyable.
This is, you're still in the wetsuit, but now you're at like a child's birthday party? Like whose birthday party is it? Were you hired to be here in a wetsuit? Doesn't seem wetsuit themed.
And don't
stop asking questions.
You called us in here.
And don't be concerned about your parent or relative figuring it out. It takes 2 minutes to set up a frame using Aura app. Literally 2 minutes. It's very simple.
I know that this is confusing because of what we're saying, but you can choose the photos that you put on the aura frame. It doesn't choose for you or make your friends scroll through hundreds of photos of you at this birthday party.
I handpicked these.
Not only can you choose them, but there's also a private feature. You have complete control over who has access to your frame, and the Aura app lets you share photos more securely than with email, which many other digital frames require. Oh, Aaron, I just got a notification here in my Aura app that you want to share with me all your photos.
Aaron.
Send them to everyone.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code Riddle at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Oh, here it is. It's the photo of all of us. Nope, that's bags of rice with our name written on them.
Do you love it?
I want to leave. This podcast is sponsored by Squarespace.
Hey, daddy-os, come on into the party.
What's this going to be?
What is the vibe in here? It's like the language and the decorations are like wildly incongruent.
Chill, man. Here, it's hip to be square, because we all use Squarespace, dig?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Squarespace, that's the all-in-one fun website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're starting out or growing a managing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to build a beautiful website. Yeah, yeah, we know. We understand.
I built a website for my beret.
Oh, cool.
Wait, I'm sorry. On behalf of, or it's like featuring? Did your beret tell you to build a website?
That's
right. Tell your beret that it can sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks, or little pictures of the beret.
Tell your beret. Do
whatever
you want. Don't encourage him to talk to the beret. What are you doing?
I talk to the beret.
Huh?
That's cool, man. Mm-hmm. Also, you can upload video content, organize your video library, and showcase your content on beautiful video pages, like all these videos of my beret. You want to see?
I don't know that I want to see videos of your beret. It looks like you also have flexible payments on here, so you can make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, something called Beret Pay? Burpay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. Actually, you know what? I think Beret Pay seems to just be written in like pencil next to this. I don't necessarily know.
Looks like a beret wrote it.
That's all right. Don't be so uptight. Listen, head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/riddle to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
I'm getting a phone call and it says it's from the beret.
Don't pick up.
The call is coming from inside my hat.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ooh, Adeline Aaron.
Oh, what's wrong? Hey, JPC, what's wrong?
What's going on, buddy?
I just fell out of a tree and I think I hurt my emotions.
Oh, that's a pretty short tree, yeah.
It's a shrub.
It's more like
I was
a
trying
small
to eat
plant.
It.
Well, whether you're a human or a tree, or you fell from a tree, you should check out BetterHelp. Have you heard of this? You seen this?
Oh, is De Niro impression coming up in the ad read? Analyze that.
We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, they can affect us negatively. Like, what's going on with you?
So what you're saying is that maybe the fact that I was trying to eat a shrub in the yard could be related to my emotions, feeling all emotive.
Better helping to me is good. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Say if you want like a Billy Crystal type.
And you know, this kind of therapy works so well for me because I love being able to message my counselor anytime and I don't like getting in the car to go to therapy. It just stresses me out. So if you haven't done therapy for a while and you're thinking about getting back into the game, I would give this a shot.
Hi guys, it's me, JPC. I know what you're thinking. That character who fell out of a shrub and hurt his arm and thought maybe his arm was his emotions. That's not really what therapy's all about. Mm-hmm. Right? Wrong.
Nope. Right. That's not what therapy is all about. Therapy is about something different.
Anyways, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/riddle today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/riddle, RIDDLE.
I have better, Greg. Can you help me?
It's a lot of
perfect.
Fun, Edel.
Perfect.
Thank you. And we're about to come back from the episode, but before we do, I need a password. Password.
The password is butts.
Okay, but spelled how?
Ooh.
Z, but not what you think it would be.
Right this way. Come on in.
I love this show. It's consistent. At least it's consistent. It's nothing. This is all nothing, but it's consistent.
It's consistently nothing.
It's consistently nothing, and that's why we love it. Now, speaking of things that we love, I'm just going to put this into the Zoom frame slowly so everyone can see the book that's coming into the Zoom frame. That's right. That's right. It's our old friend, the Blue Riddle book, which we canonically do not like on this show.
And I just pulled out three of my teeth for real. Are you happy? There goes my pinky toe. Are you happy?
We've been using this book since the inception of us doing the show. Since the beginning, we've been using this book. I don't even think we're halfway through it.
Can I do my impression of that book?
Sure.
Hi, I'm the Blue Book. Do you like that I'm a book? I have riddles.
That's uncanny.
Pretty great. I think the reason, because we did use this in episode one and several times after, I think the reason we haven't reached the end of this book is that it's some sort of Necronomicon or demon cursed book, and it keeps writing more pages. It never ends. It's we've died and we've gone inside this book.
Well, that's what you said about Pride and Prejudice, and I just think you found it boring and you're having a hard time.
I stand by that. At no point does anybody use the title. It doesn't make sense.
Here's what I think would make that movie better.
You told me it was about two dogs named Pride and Prejudice.
I think the movie version of Pride and Prejudice, what you do to make that better, is about an hour and 45 minutes in, Bob Odenkirk shows up.
That's Little Women.
If it works for Little Women, it will work for Pride and Prejudice. That is my philosophy.
That might be the hardest I've laughed at any movie. That's better than any hard joke in any comedy, is Bob Odenkirk showing up an hour into Little Women.
Because he looks like a character from a Mr. Show sketch in that.
He shouldn't be in any period piece.
No. No, because he's Bob Odenkirk.
Like, if he played King Arthur, like, get the fuck out of here. What if we did... Okay, so we're going to make a movie, and it's going to be called Pride and Prejudice. And what it is it's a Pride of Lions.
Prejudice can still get you pregnant.
And it's thank you.
Boom,
and it's Judas before he met Jesus. And that's all I have.
Oh, an origin story.
Honestly, yeah, I bet fucking Todd Phillips is right now optioning a Judas origin story.
That's because he can't make comedies anymore.
Comedy's too PC, but Judas, he's like edgy, man.
The original Joker, Judas.
Judas was truly the original Joker. Damaged.
You want to know how I got invited to this Last Supper?
You want to know how I got this silver?
Give it all the Oscars. Let white men masturbate to the thought of this kind of evil. Good art, Todd Phillips. Fuck you. Fuck you. I had to completely open all the windows of my house and light candles and listen to folk music to try to get rid of the evil of that movie from my house.
Who do you think would play? Who do you think would play Judas in the Todd Phillips version of
Vincent D'Onofrio?
An angry video game controller.
Full Metal Judas. An angry video controller.
Jared Leto and an angry video game controller in Judas. In Iscariot. That's what they call it. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. This is from a section of the book called Tricky Puzzles, and they are awfully tricky.
Blech.
This one's called Foreign Cure. Why does an American fly to another country in the hope of finding a cure for his illness? That's the whole riddle. That's bad. That's bad.
Because we don't have a great healthcare infrastructure here, and other countries have a speed.
I don't know. I mean, that's probably true. though, if you've got, well, I guess it doesn't really cost a lot to fly to another country, especially nowadays. Tickets probably pretty cheap. If you want to go to another country, now's the time.
And I want to hear from people in Australia if I'm remembering this correctly, but I'm pretty sure, and this is going to sound bad when I first say it, but when I get to the end, it'll make sense. They have like an eye for an eye policy in terms of their health care for people visiting or living there from other countries. So they go, okay, well, how do you treat our citizens when they're there? And that's how well we're going to treat you. And it's, isn't that amazing, though? So, like, they're terrible to Americans. They're like, oh, if an Australian person broke their arm there, they'd owe you $70,000 and then, like, have to say the Pledge of Allegiance. So insane. If you break your arm here, we're going to be shitty to you. But if you're from fucking Holland, where we'd be treated like kings and queens, you can have good health care.
Aaron, I just looked that up. Apparently, it's officially a gdoi for a gdoi policy. So that's...
Wow. Yeah. And that's for you, sweet Australian listeners.
I love it here. Oh, so I think I know the answer to your little tricky problem.
Okay.
What it is that this person in America has come down with a case of the Marias. So they're flying to Austria because how do you cure a case of Marias?
I think you barely paid attention
how
for that movie.
How do you hold a moonbeam in your hand? They're mad at me because I screamed Evita into the microphone during warm-ups.
If you said, I feel like if you... Pre this movie being made and pre getting this movie getting made, so they prayed it. If you said the sentence "The Sound of Music," you sound insane. What is that? What is that? The sound of music.
Music makes sound.
That's like saying the feel of touch. What are we doing?
No. It's better than them going the taste of music. Then you can do your whole stand-up routine. The taste of music. Hey, music doesn't have a taste.
But this is like saying the taste of flavor. The sound of music.
Yeah.
By the way, the taste of music is the tagline for the new wine that I'm bottling now. And I must say, my bathtub is ruined. And well, I rent.
I'd also say that wine is ruined.
Well, okay, so do you guys want some hints? I think you're maybe going to need some hints.
I don't want them, but we need them.
So, it's there's a lot to unpack here. He didn't go abroad for drugs, medicines, treatments, or cures that were unavailable in the United States. Okay. So, it wasn't for, like, you know, some Swiss clinic or something like that. His illness was curable, given the right motivation. Now, I'll take issue with curable there, but, okay.
Oh,
that's
he went someplace that was summer or winter or something, like...
Yeah, I mean, that's a good guess because now you're thinking like a little bit outside the box.
Does he have like Greek diabetes?
Addle.
It's like diabetes but with feta.
Addle, we have begged you on the podcast. Stop saying Greek diabetes.
Yeah, okay, guys. He said it every single episode, and this is the one we're not going to cut out. Let the people come for you, Addle.
I tried to shorten it to Greek diabetes, and you guys said that sounded like some sort of Roman god.
Archimedes, Greek diabetes.
Sorry, I interrupted your hints because I thought I had the answer.
It says his illness was curable given the right motivation. I don't know that it's curable. To that extent. And then the last hint, he went to an Arab country.
Ooh, okay. Mm. So let's list all the Arab countries.
Okay.
Is there a song for it?
Lebanon gives such bright, nice colors. It gives us the greens and yellows. Mama, don't take Lebanon away. Mama, don't take my Lebanon. Ooh, ooh.
Also, can you look at the front of this book, JPC, and tell me when it was published?
I think it was published in the 80s, I believe.
Okay. So the United Arab Emirates.
Oh, I'm sorry. God, Jesus, Lord Almighty. 97. It was published in 97, so...
Yemen, Oman, Iraq.
Oh, man.
So I think that the only way to do this is... in the only song that it fits to is the Poke Rap. I think it's... Algeria, Bahrain, Comoros, Islands, Djibouti, Egypt, Iraq, and Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Libya, Morocco.
These are the breaks. I thought the Poke Rap was going to be like raw fish, tuna fish, got some salmon and some celery.
Palestine,
sesame
Cutter.
Sesame seeds.
Bulbasaur, Saudi Arabia. Somalia, Sudan. Ivysaur, Syria.
One time at Belmont and Clark, I was very hungover. I got poke, ate it on the street, threw up the poke into a trash can at that very same street corner. You guys, Aaron, I got to do a Chicago walking tour before I move. There are some memories.
Aaron, that was when you're trying to mimic Billy Eichner, right? And you're doing Aaron's poke on the street and you're screaming at people while eating poke?
So I think the reason why the Arab country matters is because culturally, the disease that is afflicting this person is something that is, I won't say is not allowed in those countries, but the...
Oh, he only had one wife?
No.
One wife of Titus?
I'm addicted to my wife!
People don't know your background, Adel, so when you say that, they think you're a white dude saying that.
Adel is a Mormon.
I am Palestinian, and the reason I didn't mention Palestine as one of the first Arab states is because it's not on any map or globe.
And
it's not recognized.
It's not recognized. Not recognized in any way.
My family has no country. At least my old men in the family, old country forward men, Cormac McCarthy.
Are you okay?
<It's> I'm really not.
I don't think so.
You said it's something that's illegal in the Arab states?
In some, yes. Okay. And he's not traveling there to obtain a medicine.
Yeah.
But he is traveling there because of access to the thing that is
that they outlaw?
Impacting him.
Huh. This is very confusing. I don't know.
Is something illegal here that's legal there?
Opposite.
There's something illegal here that's illegal there.
Is this a play on words?
It's like smoking or...
Close. Drinking. Not smoking. Drinking. That's why I was tripped up because the book says that it would cure him. And I'm like, well, no.
So he's an alcoholic and he's going over there so he's not tempted to drink?
Exactly. He is an alcoholic. He's an alcoholic who is moving...
rehab.
This is dead,
to Lebanon.
Dead stop. Dead sea stop. This is the first riddle. I never in my life imagined the answer to a riddle would be an alcoholic.
Seems a little insensitive.
Yeah.
Well, it's also insensitive in the book that this book says that it cures him. It's like, oh yeah, alcoholism, you can get cured of that. You're better. You're done.
Yeah, never have to think about it ever again.
Pretty wild.
No, I totally understand like the sentiment behind this of like, oh, it's easier to drink and stay sober if you have like a sober community or like an activity you enjoy that where everyone's sober. But like, let's move to this part of the world because culturally they don't drink as much.
Move to the cliffs of sober.
I will say that I do think you got to be careful along the cliffs of sober, especially if you've been drinking. I will say that
I almost died on the cliffs of Dover. I think I've told this story, but I literally almost fell off the cliffs of Dover. True story.
Oh, did you sneeze and then fall backwards in some stupid cartoon way?
I was crawling down to get close to the cliffs, and I got to a point where I couldn't climb back up, and I was on a tiny, like, one-foot ledge, and I started screaming for my friend, and he had to, like, go grab somebody else, and they had to form, like, a human chain to pull me up. It was terrifying. It was the scariest moment of my life. I almost fell off the cliffs of Dover.
What I was going to say is I think that, like, immersing yourself in another culture is a really good way to, like, pick up and learn and understand that culture, especially that's what they recommend for, like, language. Like, you know, 4 years of high school Spanish is not going to teach you Spanish, but, like, going to Mexico and living in Mexico or working in a place where they only speak Spanish is a way to like immerse yourself. But again, that doesn't seem to be what this guy was doing. He seems like he wants to take a shortcut. And there are no shortcuts. There's only 12 small steps, and that's the only way out of...
There are many ways out. Johnny Five is alive.
And that movie, canonically, Adel, you say it holds up because of how not racist it is.
And if you're struggling with addiction, we're here for you, and it's serious, and you're loved, and you're worthy of things.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the World News show where I spoke? I never play Arab characters because I don't look Arab, but there was a World News show where I spoke Arabic, where I was like, Kifalik, Mabsud Hamdallah, you know, Bismillahir Rahman Rahim. I said all this Arabic, and then after the show, two white people came up and they're like, disgusting. And I was like, sorry. And they're like, for you to just speak gibberish and say like you're speaking Arabic as a white person, that's disgusting. And I was like, oh, I'm Palestinian. And they're like, okay, well, we couldn't possibly tell that. So we're so sorry. But they were like looking for a confrontation to call me out. And I was like, oh, I speak some Arabic and I'm a Palestinian. So I'm okay. And they're like, we're sorry. There's no way by looking at you, we couldn't tell. So that's still your fault.
In their defense, people, male comedians have got on stage and done the most horrendous things.
Yes, to be fair. Yes, yes, yes.
So their knee-jerk reaction, though not the best timing, makes sense to me.
Like, well, the singer of Cherry Pie, they were warranted.
I will say, I mean, good on them. We need more white people stepping up and saving us. So I hope that they're still out here doing the whole white
hold on thing. Hold on, JPC, we need more white people stepping up. So you're saying Nick Cannon should be replaced? Wow.
I'm
was
saying
he in that movie?
Step up three the streets. When they just went with an all white cast,
when it was just Donkey and the Boys.
Okay, so this is the next one. Spies Are Us. Mm. During World War I, two German spies often ate at the same restaurant, but they never sat together. How did they pass information, these clever German spies?
Got to be alphabet soup.
Their checks. They're
no, menus. They're Germans. They're Germans, Aaron.
They no, that's funny, and I like that kind of joke, but I'm being serious.
German, please.
They're Czechs. They're menus. They pretended they were kids and they colored at the table and colored something in.
The specials. They would list the specials and it would be
okay.
I would like specials. To see a scene.
I'd like to see
Oh, you are too slow,
we have
sir.
Intel lasagna. Yeah.
So you two are spies at a restaurant trying to pass information along to each other. And maybe this is your first time doing this and maybe you're not great at it.
Good evening, sir. I'm the maitre spy. Maitre D. Can I offer you a table? Perhaps you'd like to sit by the window.
Yes, that is fine. I would like to sit in a place in the restaurant where I can get a good view where I could spy, not spy anything, just to see, like out a window. A window would be perfect for me. Thank you, yes.
No, thank you, Danka. I mean, thank you. Let's get you to the window. Of course, our special today, and I'm the maitre d', but I might as well cut out the middleman and tell you the special.
I have to apologize because I am a Texas oil man.
Yes.
And I was talking like that is a joke.
Yes. Okay, so our special agents for today, sorry, our specials for today are chicken spy, thigh, and the whole.
And does that code come? Does that come with a side of anything, partner?
If you jerk it off hard enough.
Do you think I am dumb? We're at an Applebee's in the middle of Indiana, and you don't think I would recognize your accents? There's no one in here. You've done too much. I heard you say the code, and it was oh, shoot. I cut you off before you said the code. Pretend I'm not here. I'm at Applebee's. I'd like a martini.
I am also part of Applebee's, partner, and a martini would be good for me as well.
Gee willikers, I am from Tennessee.
Yes, and I am not an evil spy, and you two are not good spies trying to communicate. And if one of you had to say a code to the other, then this would be a great spot, because we're all just people.
Yes, I'll just get you the spaghetti, and we'll call it a day, partner. Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Scene. Tennessee. Tennessee.
Tennessee. Tennessee, anyone? Okay.
So is it
those are all good guesses, Aaron, but none of them were correct.
And Alphabet Soup was wrong?
And Alphabet Soup, Adel, was so wrong, I barely wanted to deem it respondable.
In their orders?
No.
Oh, texting?
Yes, so this is World War I, and they were texting. They had sidekicks with Boost Mobile.
Excuse me, sir, I can't help but notice that a carrier pigeon keeps flying between these two tables.
And it's distracting.
All right, would you guys like some clues?
Yes, please.
Obviously, yes, we are very lost.
Can we have the clue of the day, please, sir, waiter?
They went to the restaurant as paying customers. Oh. No codes were used, and they never spoke to each other or sat near each other.
Telepathy?
They dressed in similar clothes.
Okay. Those are terrible clues.
They're waiters.
No, they're customers. They were both paying customers. They weren't waiters eating a shift meal.
Okay, so they didn't use any codes. So I'm baffled. So if they sat at separate tables, was it that the tables were separate but right next to each other and they were just openly talking?
They were never near each other. They were never even near each other.
Dinner theater.
Mm.
One was pretending to talk on the phone.
Again, this is World War One, so
I know, but
they had phones back then. But
phones
they were just
looked like this, but they were still phones
at the table.
Aaron yes. Mimed a violin.
No, I didn't. I mimed one of these. Hello,
phones look like.
Who is this? It's me, the past. I mimed one of those phones. Okay, so it's World War One. They talked with their guns.
Ooh.
They talked with their diseases.
Yeah, they let their guns and diseases do the talking.
They sang Silent Night and the One Night of Peace.
No, they never talked to each other.
They never talked. They didn't use code. Did they use their uniforms in some way or their outfits?
So, yes. And the fact that they wore similar clothes is very important.
So, was it something... Let's see. Similar clothes.
They wore color to send a message to each other. Like,
no,
let's both wear blue. Let's wear a big red hat with a flower on it.
They could have done this. They could have passed the information to each other. Without ever even really seeing each other.
Music.
So it wasn't about the color of their clothes, but the clothes do matter, but it wasn't about the color of their clothes. Or anything or anything truly visual that you would
bells.
See on the outside of someone's clothes. No.
Yeah, was it tiny bells?
It wasn't about sounds. Sound does not play any part of
smell.
This.
Smell.
No.
Sight. Taste.
Yeah, give us more hints.
I guess sight. I guess sight would be the one that plays the biggest hint.
So sight is the biggest hint, but they also didn't need to see each other to pass this code?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly. They didn't need to see each other, but they needed to see something. But they didn't need to see each other. And it has to do with their clothes.
Were they both holding up ascots that were white to like wave a white flag kind of thing?
No, not ascots and again, they wouldn't need to see each
ascots.
Other.
Ascots. Ties?
But I do like that train of thought. So think about this. It's, you know, it's the 1910s.
Yeah.
What kind of other clothing, old-timey clothing things are people wearing?
Aaron, to get in the spirit, let's talk like this. Speaking of spirit, Charles Lindbergh. Okay, let's see. Oh, was it cufflinks?
Downton Abbey cufflinks.
Top hats?
Oh, a 23 Skidoo.
A ticket to the Titanic.
What's those little things? Monocle.
Monocle, maybe? There you go.
A monocle. We're on a break. Monocle.
You guys had, one of them was correct in there.
Wait,
let's go back through. A ticket to the Titanic, a monocle, a whoosie-doos, a corset, a little pant that doesn't go all the way down. Let's keep going.
Oh, corset. I love Les Mis.
How did you miss it that type through? You had it the first time.
All right, fine. Who were we 5 minutes ago? Top hat?
We said top hat, cufflinks.
Yes.
Top
hat.
Cufflinks.
So hats. Back then, if you were a gentleman, you were wearing a hat out.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't wear a hat at the table, right?
You would wear it backwards to send a message to your friend.
Whoa, did that guy just invent the backwards hat?
Whoa,
cool
beans. He's wearing his top hat backwards. I can't really tell.
Did I just invent cool beans? Cool beans.
I want to see a beans, JPC. And Aaron, you are in the early 1900s. And each of you, while kind of hanging out, each of you discovers or invents a certain phrase or thing that is popular nowadays.
We're both just staring out the window. What are you thinking about?
I'm just thinking about mortality and the slow crawl, and we're all getting older, and soon we'll be 40 and we'll be dead.
I know you are, but what am I? Wait.
I'm sorry.
I know you are, but what am I? I think I just invented the airplane. Give me a piece
Hold
of paper,
on.
Quickly.
Give me some more of that opium that we've been smoking.
Yes.
Puff, puff. This is medicine. Very good.
Sorry, did you say you wanted some paper? Here you go. Oh, I dropped it. How rude, mister.
Wait, what was that?
How was rude, that? Mister.
I think you
rude.
Just invented women voting. Quick, write that down.
Did I do that?
I don't know what to do now. I fucked it so bad. Same. I messed it up so bad.
I fucked it so bad.
I'm like a guy in a relationship when he ruins everything. Well, this is a mess. Time to go.
I think you just invented women voting. You two were both circling the answer of this riddle. Just circling the answer.
They kept their hats on.
No.
They took their hats off.
Yes.
Aaron, pretty soon I'm going to dump sand on you because this episode, you are on fire.
They kept their hats on. They took their hats off.
You can leave your hat on. So typically when you go in a restaurant, you take your hat off. So they did take their hats off.
Yes.
So hats off, that's off.
They switched hats on the way out. Aaron, took each other's hats.
Bingo, bingo, ha-ta-ta. The information was stored in the hat band. The secret message that they were relaying to each other was stored in the hat band. They came to the restaurant staggered. They had identical hats, but one would take the other's hat when they left so they could pass the information.
I gotta say, I'm so sorry. That is garbage. If you get up to leave, you pay your tab, you get up to leave, you walk across the restaurant to a different table and grab that hat, that's just, what the fuck are you doing? That's suspicious as fuck.
Fine to do with a hat, bad to do with a date. Leave now, with the date you came in with.
Casey said alphabet soup made more sense.
Now,
thank you.
Traditionally, they would not keep the hat at the table with them. They would put it at a hat rack in the coat check of the restaurant, so they wouldn't just pick up someone else's hat.
How do they know at the hat rack whose hat is what?
Exactly. That's
at
why
the
it's
hat
a good
rack. Clap. Clap.
Can
clap,
I tell you?
Clap, clap, clap hats at the hat rack.
When I was younger, I have a vivid memory of being at the Indianapolis Country Club, which my grandpa was a member, and being in their coat room. And I was very young and just looking at all of the coats in that coat room. And I was sent in to go get my coat. And I just came out with another coat because I thought what it was just this huge room.
It was like
full of coats, and it was like
leave a penny, take a penny.
Yeah, like anyone can wear any coat, and I was so confused. I was like, "What do you mean? Like, no one's wearing any of the coats in there." Like,
that's amazing.
You treated the coat room as those like early 1990s phone booths you go in with the money flying everywhere, and you just grab as many bills as possible.
I went in with my hands so fucking sticky with honey, and I tried to grab as many coats as I could.
The craziest things I ever saw someone try to get away with was someone did that, and I was at Beauty Bar in Chicago, and they have a coat room that you can check your coat into, so you can dance to the hits. And it was like January, and I went dancing, and I was walking out, and I saw a girl wearing my coat, and it's my favorite coat. I don't know if you guys remember it. It's like looks like a founding father coat. It's purple, like light purpley. With
print
on it.
Coat.
Yeah, it's like
wow. I thought there's 0% chance I remember a specific coat Aaron had, but nope, I did.
That's very sweet. It's my favorite coat, and I wore it like every day for 3 years.
Yeah.
So it was my favorite coat, and I've never seen anyone else have it other than Nick on New Girl once wore it, and I was like, what? But anyways, she was walking out with my coat, and I was like, that's my coat. And she was like, they gave me this one. And she was like, looked totally fine leaving. And then she was like, I'm drunk. I'm so drunk. I don't even know if I can. I'm drunk. And I was let's just go back and fix it. And we went back up. And she had like a short black puffer coat. And I was like, come on. They made a mistake. And you were like, oh, shit, that coat's gorgeous. Mm. And you thought you'd get away with it. But her trying to make herself seem drunker.
That's
in such a short amount of time. She was like, her voice started like here, and then she like got down to here. She was like, I'm drunk.
I quit.
This same thing happened to me today. As you know, we record this on a Monday. On Monday, Dunkin' Donuts does free coffee if you make any other purchase. So I told Mariah, put in an order if you want something, and I'll pick it up for you. I dropped spaghetti off at camp. I went to Dunkin'. They handed me one coffee. I put it into my car, and then they handed me two more coffees. And I did not know what Mariah ordered. And I was like, well, maybe she got two coffees. Like, maybe the fucking world is hard and that's just what we all need in our days. But it was not the case. But I didn't have time to check because I was like, I don't know. Just give me these things. And I got home and I got someone named Gnome D. So Gnome, Noamd, I drank your coffee today. And I got to say, my man, That shit sucks. Five cream, one Splenda.
Ew.
Gnome, I took 4 sips of that coffee and then another 8, and I hated every sip of it. But it was free, and I wasn't going to waste it. And I did pour out half of it, Gnome, because that's a bad coffee order.
Gnome Domsky, if you're listening. And I, before we lose the thread, Aaron, I do want to say you talked about your favorite coat. If there are any listeners out there who have a 1995 starter lineup jacket featuring the Charlotte Hornets that's reversible, the inside is teal but can be swapped out for the black portion to be in interior, please DM me. I'm willing to pay upwards of $40 for this coat.
For shipping.
For shipping.
The coat will be free and it will be a gift from you.
That's my favorite coat I've ever had, and I don't know, I lost it when I grew up and I'm so bummed. So if anybody has that jacket, please let me know.
What if you saw it behind me right now? That would be pretty cool. But I have been collecting jackets. They're my favorite piece of clothing. I'm about to move to California. So if you are a size 6 and you live in Chicago and you want a bunch of jackets, please DM me. I will give you a jacket for free.
Sounds like a very specific Craigslisting or misconnection.
Yeah, there's got to be like 3 people out there who are going to want my shitty jackets.
And I cannot stress this enough. That was Aaron speaking. If you are a size 6... that lives in Chicago, do not DM me. Mariah checks those, okay? You guys keep getting me in trouble. I don't, stop it. Just
stop sending me your measurements.
Stop it.
I don't care about the measurements. I don't want them. I don't want to know. I love a mystery.
I was on the train reading on the road. You were a size 6 who loved jackets.
That's me.
Okay. We must be serious, and by that it's time for serious business. Does anyone have anything that they would like to plug? Adel, you raised your hand. You have something to plug?
Yes, please. I have something big to plug that involves all of us.
Uh-oh.
So the 3 of us, myself, JPC, and Aaron, we are doing a spinoff series for Hello for the Magic Tavern. This is for Stitcher Premium. It is a new series called Hey Tavern Tavern. It's 7 episodes long. It is us giving relationship advice as our characters, Chunt the Shapeshifter, Momo the Mouse with Human Strength, and Hornelius the Fintar. So please check that out on Stitcher Premium. It comes out tomorrow, the 25th, Thursday the 25th. And I do want to let you know that you can get a free month of Stitcher Premium to check it out if you go to stitcher.com/premium and select a monthly plan and enter the code MAGIC, M-A-G-I-C. Again, this is going to go for 7 episodes, so we want you to check them out. So whenever you want to use that free trial, please do so. But yeah, that's Hey Tavern Tavern.
Adel, does that come out weekly, or is it like a one and done dump and chump, pump and crump?
I believe it's going to it's 7 episodes over the course of 7 weeks, and it should come out every Thursday. So please check that out.
So use that free month as soon as the first episode drops.
No.
As we all know, a month is 7 weeks.
So you're telling me that for 7 weeks, people can get content from us on a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday?
For now, they can.
That's amazing. But also, not to shit on the show or our Patreon.
Please
there's
do
a lot
it
of,
without shitting on the 2 things
I
that
can't,
we love the most.
I can't. I have loved a lot of stuff that I've done with you guys. Those, we've recorded all of them. Spoiler alert, we already recorded all 7. Those were truly... some of my favorite things I've ever done with you guys. Like, I would be dying laughing
Same.
For days after some of those records.
Same.
And I will throw this out now. My character has an arc in these 7 episodes. I will not reveal what the arc is, but it is very subtle. It is very subtle. So if you think that you can guess it, please tweet at me what you think my character's inspiration for the arc is when you hear it. It's like I said, guys, you're not going to get it, but take your shots.
You're
going to
get it. You're
going to
get it right away.
Aaron, anything to promote?
No, just check out that Magic Tavern series. It really is so joyous, and like there's so many puns. There's just their brains move so fast.
A lot of puns.
And you can follow me, Aaron Keefe 10 on Instagram. Just keep in mind, most of the time people are really patient. People have been getting mad at me recently. It takes about a month for me to respond. Once a month, I take 2 days, and that's all I do all day is respond to your messages, and I try to be specific, and I try to really read them. So just know that it might be a month before I get back to you, but I promise I will get back to you.
Absolutely. I want to chime in real quick. Just I forgot to mention, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention it. I would be remiss congeniality. The Hey Tavern Tavern, the new series, has a new theme song by Ernie Parrott. So I just want to mention that. JPC, anything to plug?
Wow. So I would just like to say that, as you all know, Aaron is moving away to LA very soon, and we have a live show coming up. If you're listening to this when it's coming out, we have a live show coming up, a live stream show on March 5th. We're live streaming from Chicago. That could be the last time we do a live stream show for this foreseeable future, just because we are all going to be in the same place for that time. So maybe we'll get another one before Aaron leaves, but maybe not. You can get tickets to that headgum.com/live. We've done two already. That should be a ton of fun. We really love doing these live stream shows. They've been like highlights of my time in lockdown. And by that, I mean the only time I've been able to see other human beings. But anyway, headgum.com/live to get tickets to that. They are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
I had one more thing. We are doing a interplanetary takeover, starting with a very specific location. Aaron, do you want to announce the first location that we're doing that in?
Yep. Us and the Property Brothers are going to Jupiter.
Bye forever.
I hate the fucking Property Brothers.
Hate, love.
They finish each other's basements.
Sandwiches.
John Patrick Cohen. Casey Tony did the editing. Emory Parrish did the music. Logo created by Emily Cardamus and Emmeline Morris.
Hey there, kitchens and sinks. If you like that, you are going to love this week's Patreon. We play a brand new game show, and oh yeah, there are fabulous prizes on the line. You can listen to that plus our entire back catalog at patreon.com/heyriddleriddle by joining the Clue Crew for $5 a month or the Review Crew for $8 a month. See you there.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.